I have a story to tell. Hello. My name is Moses. One day, I was tending the flock owned by my father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. I had taken the flock of sheep deep into the wilderness near the Sinai Peninsula. And while walking on a lonely hillside on that hot summer day, I noticed that a bush was on fire. Now, I've seen many bushes on fire over the years. You see, quartz crystals are of great abundance, and they were lying all around the ground. And at times, the sun's rays would reflect off those crystals and cause the tender leaves of the bush to burn. But something was different about that bush that was on fire. That bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed by the flames. Amazing, I said to myself. What is happening? I can see the flames, but the bush is not burning up. I needed to get closer. I had to see what was going on. And as I neared the burning bush, I heard a voice calling out, "Moses, Moses." I answered, "Here am I." Now, my day had started out normal. I called my sheep, rounded them up, and led them out to a fresh pasture in that Sinai Peninsula. I was minding my own business. While tending the sheep, I was content to be living with my father-in-law and caring for his sheep. I certainly was not planning on meeting God. I was yesterday's man. I was maintaining a status quo when I was interrupted by God. You know, it's a day like most of your days, filled with daily routines and never expecting a divine encounter. But you see, God is looking for opportunities to intersect and to bring his presence into the midst of your life. I was having a burning bush experience, and God was using that burning bush to get my attention. He was calling me to redirect me. He called me by name. God's call is also specific. When you hear God calling, seldom will it be in such a dramatic way. He never says, "Hey, you, the guy walking with the sheep." He calls you by name. He specifically wants to communicate with you. And as I came closer to that burning bush, God told me, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." And then he told me, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And when I heard this, I hid my face because I was afraid to look at God. God was telling me that he had not just dropped in on the scene. He was telling me that he was the God of my forefathers. He was the one who had met their needs in the past centuries. God had stood by Abraham, and he had rewarded his faith. He had been the companion of Isaac and the helper of Jacob. They had all known times of adversity and oppression. Just as he did not fail them, so likewise he was not going to disappoint me. We are here to reverently approach God. We are on holy ground. I immediately removed my sandals to show honor and respect. Servants who learn to take off their shoes in humility can be used by God to walk in power and purpose. I know that more than once I remembered that burning bush experience. And I allowed that memory of that experience to hold me steady when life was challenging. What is the burning bush in your life? A place? A person? An experience? An encounter? What reverence do you show in God's presence? Attitude? Expectations? Acknowledgement? I covered my face. The presence of God is overpowering. And many years after a prophet named Isaiah wrote, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was standing, he was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hovering around him were mighty seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, and two wings they covered their feet. And with the remaining two wings they flew, and they sang in a great chorus, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." Their glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Then I said to myself, "My destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race. Yet I had seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Back to my story. Standing there before the Lord, He told me, "You can be sure that I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries for deliverance from their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them out to Egypt and to their good and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites have lived. The cries of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them with heavy tasks. I had been separated for 40 years from my people. That day, God revealed to me what had been happening and how He had been watching over them. I was thrilled that God was mindful of His people. God had a specific task. He was going to rescue the Israelites by a plan orchestrated by God. He was responding to the cries of everyday folk. He was going to rescue them and to give them comfort, healing, and provisions. But about that time, God said, "I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will tell my people, the Israelites, and you will lead them out of Egypt." I was shocked when I heard that He not only was God going to provide deliverance of His people, but that He was expecting me to be the deliverer. God has specifically chosen me. Although I did not realize it at the time, I had been equipped for God's call. Every life experience in my life led and prepared me for God's call. I grew up in the house of Pharaoh. I had seen the injustice inflicted upon God's people. I had spent time in exile. God had specifically called each of you because you had been equipped. He has given you skills and talents. I stammered, I stewed. I asked God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? We always have an excuse. I felt very inadequate. But why did I worry about it? God already knew I was inadequate. But he was bigger than I was. God's call will always be bigger than you are. His call will always be beyond your abilities, your skills, and your resources. God's call will be beyond anything that you can accomplish on your own. I was asking, who am I? Due to the amazing ways that God had used Joseph, son of Jacob, to save the Egyptians, and there are also the Israelites, they were still living in Egypt when I was born. But with the new king in power, who did not know Joseph, and who was paranoid and afraid of foreigners in his midst, trouble was now brewing. The Egyptians put foremen of forced work gangs over the Israelites to harass them with hard work. But the more they oppressed God's people, the more they grew and the more they spread. The Egyptians began to look upon the Israelites with disgust and dread. So they enslaved the Israelites. And it was during this time that I was born. For the first 3 months of my life, I was brought up in my father's home. The Egyptians not only continued to persecute God's people, they also implemented a plan of killing all male Jewish baby boys. It was ordered that all Jewish baby boys were to be thrown into the Nile River. Not knowing what to do, my family made a waterproof reed basket, placed me in that basket, and floated it down the Nile. I was found and adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter and raised as her own son. My biological mother was hired to nurture me, although no one knew who she really was. I was educated in the palace of Egypt. I received the best education and became cultured. I was powerful in my words and in my deeds. I was a prince of Egypt. When I was about 40 years old, I murdered an Egyptian who was abusing one of God's people. Fearing for my life, I ran into the desert. I became a nobody and was forced into the life of obscurity. I was in exile on the other side of the desert. This was the time God used to shape me. A person acting in the flesh can be impulsive and can see no obstacles. But a person humbly walking in the Spirit knows the battles that lie ahead. 40 years later, when I was 80 years old, God called me to return to Egypt. God spoke again. I will be with you, and this will serve as proof that I have sent you. When you have brought the Israelites out of Egypt, you will return to worship God at this very mountain. I asked another question. Who are you? I told God, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God's answer nearly blew me off my feet. He replied, I am who I am. He told me to tell them, I am has sent me to you. He also told me, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. God's reply was simple. I am who I am. I am who I was, who I am, and who I will always be. Later, when Jesus, the Son of God, was on earth, he added 7 descriptions to who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Still, I was not convinced that I was the right man. I asked, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? God did not answer my questions as I would have expected. Instead, he asked me, what is that in your hand? I told him that it was a shepherd's staff. He told me to throw it on the ground. So I obeyed him. Immediately, my staff turned into a snake. Boy, did I jump back. God then told me to reach out and to grab it by its tail. And when I did, as I was told, it turned back into my staff. Then I heard God tell me, perform this sign, and they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. When God told me that they would believe me, I began to experience an opening in my own unbelief. God had actually shown me 2 miracles, the shepherd's staff and my hand turning leprous. These were my visible credentials. God will always take what you have in your hand and use it if we trust him. My staff was nothing, but with God, it had power. My hand had killed a man. That was why I was in exile. But with God, my hand was healed, and I could do wonders instead of death. Again, I tried to plead with God. Oh, Lord, you know I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. The Lord said, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people will speak or not speak? Hear or not hear? See or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now God said, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. God said, I am. But all I could say was, I am not. You see, I was looking at myself and at all of my failures instead of looking at God and all of his powers. I was using that old, I'm not a good public speaker line. My unbelief angered God. To be honest with you, but he sent my brother Aaron to be my helper. Now take a moment to notice what was happening. God gave me a helper, but it was not God's perfect will. My brother Aaron became my spokesman. He also became a hindrance to me more than once. He led the nation into idolatry, and he tried to rally the Israelites against me. I still was not ready to walk by faith. Over the course of the journey back to Egypt, God did a little more assuring. God promised me his word. I was afraid to return to Egypt. God said, relax. All of those who wanted to kill you have died. So I gathered my wife and our sons. I put them on a donkey and headed back to the land of Egypt. I walked beside them, carrying the staff of God. As we traveled, the Lord told me, when you arrive back in Egypt, go to the Pharaoh and perform all the miracles that I have promised and that I have empowered you to do. But I will harden his heart, so he will refuse to let the people go. Then you will tell them, this is what the Lord said. Israel is my firstborn son. I commanded you, let my son go, so that he can worship me. But you have refused. I will now kill your firstborn son. God is always true. You never have to doubt his word. Remember, God had promised me that my brother Aaron would come alongside me to help me. God told him, go into the wilderness and meet Moses. Aaron met with me at the mountain of God. He embraced me. I shared with Aaron everything the Lord had told me about the miraculous signs the Lord had commanded me to perform. When you follow God, you will find his hand in everything you do. You may not recognize it at first, but eventually you will see that God has been with you all the time and that he is leading you. When we returned to Egypt, we called all the elders of Israel together. Aaron told them everything the Lord had told me, and I performed the miraculous deeds as they watched. They were convinced that the Lord had sent us to them. When they heard that God was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. By nature, I was a man of action and not words. I was transformed as I learned the failure of my own self-styled actions and the power of my halting words when they came from God himself. Slowly, incident by incident, test by test, I was shaped to become a man of God and a prophet. Later, the tribute was shared about me. Since then, no prophet has been in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. I was called by a bush that was burning, but would not burn up. It is though God was saying to me, I am about to set you on fire, but I will not consume you. There are two great days in a person's life, the day you are born and the day you discover why. What is the burning bush in your life? Is it a purpose? It's an experience. What's God calling you to do?